Hey, happy Monday. Anybody put away their shorts yet? For you don't need to. You're going to have a good week still of a couple more warmer days. I think we're going to get in the 60s this week. You guys feeling good about that? I love it. Hey, we've been traveling through the book of Philippians, not only at the gathering, but also in chapel. And it's Paul's letter to the community in Philippi, and he's calling them passionately to live into authentic community. And Paul's challenge to the Philippians is a challenge to us here at Hope College too. How do we live in authentic community? It takes both encouragement, but it also takes the ability to name certain issues that are prevalent within the community. We're going to do that today as we're going to call out an issue that is prevalent not only on our campus, but all campuses and really in our culture today. It's the whole issue of pornography. And today we have Dr. Bill Struthers from Wheaton College, who's the associate professor there in psychology, who's done a lot of work on this whole area of pornography and how it impacts us both as men and women. He's entitled his talk tonight, or his presentation, which is going to be tonight at 7:30 in the SCOP Science Center at 7:30 in room 1019. He's entitled the talk, Why Women and Men Watch Sex, a Neuroscience View on Pornography. Is that right? Very good. Bill, come on out here. We're going to welcome you. First, welcome Bill Struthers here to Hope College. Let me pray for Bill. Join us. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for the ability for us to have a good conversation around this issue of pornography and the impacts that it has on us as both young and old men and women. God, we want to live faithfully into the vision that you've called us to live as your people. So speak through your brother now. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome, Amen. Dr. Struthers, one more time.
Thank you. Let me just get one thing straight. You guys don't have to be here, right? There's not no one taking attendance or anything. So you're actually here of your own free will. Wow, that's rather novel. One of the things that when you look, there's an inside joke there for those of you who maybe are paying attention. At Wheaton, they're required to come to chapel three times a week. So I'm impressed whenever students show up and actually sit and pay attention. Now, the talk that I have been asked to give this evening is Why Men and Women Watch Sex. And you might think, boy, that's a really stupid question. Well, men watch pornography because they like it, and women don't because they don't. And so when you really stop and think about that, it seems like a really silly thing. But one of the things that I have done in the last several years, I'm a brain scientist. My research is actually looking at neuroanatomy and pharmacology, and I spent the bulk of my time in my studies sort of slicing up brains and injecting dyes and looking at connections and circuits in rats and other animals that are running around trying to make babies with each other. And so on campus, if there's a question about sexuality and a question about whether it be anything, sort of homosexuality or transgendered or whatever it is, people kind of knock on my door and say, hey, we want to talk to you about this. Because in our culture today, the brain scientists are almost like the high priests. If we're able to say we found the part in the brain that's responsible for X, Y, or Z, people listen to us. And so there's a certain cachet in being a neuroanatomist. There's a certain advantage that I have when I speak, sort of like E.F. Hutton, for those of you who remember those old commercials. When the brain scientists speak, we listen. And one of the things that is really interesting is that in our culture, we are so preoccupied with matters of sexuality, more than we probably have been within the last 200 years. And a lot of it is due to certainly the political action groups that are out there sort of pushing their agendas, but also because of what we're finding in the brain of individuals who have homosexual orientations or individuals who are transgendered. I don't know if you've been paying attention. There's a transgendered man who's going to be playing on the George Washington women's basketball team this fall. And so when we think about these kinds of questions, what we want to be doing is we want to be taking the matter of sexuality seriously. And as a neuroanatomist, what I really have enjoyed doing is offering, you know, challenges to my students at Wheaton to be thinking about what are the implications of if you go into the brain and you find X, how does that play itself in the way you should live your life? If you find something in another person's brain and it's Y, how should that influence the way that you interact with those people? And I do know that there are, you know, certainly our culture is preoccupied with issues of homosexuality. But the analogy that I like to use is if you've ever played chess, you know, there are different pieces on the board, and different pieces are able to move, like a pawn can move forward one, or the rook can move in a particular direction. And culturally, we have, and I would say even so spiritually, we are involved in sort of this game, this contest, with individuals who are moving pieces around on the board. And the Christian community is, in many ways, very preoccupied with a couple of these pawns on the board. We're very preoccupied with the homosexual issue. We're very preoccupied with it, and we're focusing all of our attention on this one piece on the playing field, and we're ignoring some other bigger players. Pornography and the sex industry in the United States is like a queen that moves all over the board and wreaks far more havoc and damage in people's lives than some of these other pawn pieces do. And as a person who sort of wanted to talk a bit more about this, what I decided to do is to use the tools that I have as a neuroscientist to look into these issues. And one of the things that I've found is that there are some significant differences between the way men and women process sexual images, the way that sex is understood between men and women, and the way that the brain sort of responds to those things. And without giving away too many of the details for what I am going to talk about tonight, because I do want you to come, I don't want to kind of drop everything here and you sort of walk away feeling like you've got the whole story. But to take that information and to realize that there is beautiful theology that's found in the brain of a woman. There is a fantastic theology of sanctification that's found in the brain of a man. Now, that may sound really, really crazy. And there may be some psychologists and some biologists say, you have no business making those kinds of claims. But I beg to differ. I think that when you do go looking at the embodied nature of what it means to be a human being, when you go looking about in the book of Genesis last night at your gathering, which, by the way, was lovely. That was a brilliant time last night. So thank you personally. I'd like to extend my thanks to the gospel choir and to Kate, I think the other Kate, not the Kate D, but the other Kate, right? Thank you. That was a wonderful message last night. To be thinking about, you know, what does it mean to be made in God's image? We think we know what it means to be made in God's image. There's an implicit understanding that we have. But if you go and you quiz the theologians, you'll find that they're not really in complete agreement on that. Some people think that being made in God's image is something about the stuff of which we are made. Some theologians will say, no, it's more about the function, what you do. That's what it means to be made in God's image. And others will say, as my good friend and colleague here, Mark Husbands, would say, Karl Barth has more of a relational view. That's more about the relationships that we're in. But I think also there's something about all of these things that is manifest in our sexuality. Our sexuality, we have different forms. We have different substance. Men and women think differently on average. Not completely, but those small differences sometimes have significant bearings in the real world. So there's an issue of function as well. But there's also the matter of relationship, and relationships always have to be thought of in God's family, contextually. That is, I look around and I see a good couple hundred of you young ladies, and you're my younger sisters. And it's wonderful to think of you as my younger sisters. And I see lots of younger brothers in the crowd as well. But our culture is training us to look around and see potential mates. Everyone's a potential mate here. And that causes a certain amount of anxiety and a certain amount of tension in people. And to get back to God's plan for sexuality is a critical thing. To think of it as family and to see how our sexual nature is wired into our brain in such a way that it's not so that we are stuck with this thorn in our flesh, right? That the language of the lust of the flesh is something that the Christian community is great about. But how do we take that being made in the image of God. And our sexual nature is part of being made in the image of God, and harness that and have it affect our brains to make us more like Christ. That's what I want to talk about tonight. And I really hope that you'll come and spend a little bit of time where we can go into more detail about this. But I know we're getting a little bit here and some of you guys need to go to classes. So what I want to do is I want to stop and spend the last couple of minutes in prayer, if that's all right with you. And then I'll tell you to go in peace. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we live in a world that is constantly screaming for our attention, forcing itself upon us. We live in a world that is trying to grab us and to devour us. And Father, the enemy uses sometimes our own nature to deceive us into thinking that the only thing that gives us value is that we have a beautiful body, or the only thing that gives us value is whether or not someone loves us, or the only way that we can get someone to love us is to give a part of ourselves that we shouldn't give. And Father, we live in a world that tries to medicate us with images of sexuality that promise intimacy, but are only counterfeits. And we live in a world where we are being bombarded by lies. Father, I pray that as we stop and we put our minds to the task of understanding what it means to truly live, what it means to thrive, and how that manifests itself in our sexual nature, that the men and the women in this room would remember that we are a family, that we are brothers, we are sisters, and that we are all your children. Help them as their hearts are thinking on these issues. Help them, if they are hearts of stone, that they would be softened. And Lord, if their hearts are softened, may their ears be unplugged, and may they take in that life that is found in your word, that is found by your spirit, that is found in your son, and the love that you give freely, Lord Jesus. Bless them as they go. And I pray these things in your name, Lord Christ, the only name by which we may be saved, and the only one who is holy and pure. Amen. Go in peace.